A lot of things I'd like to comment on that Brother Kenneth brought to our attention, but he did a good job of that, and I'll just leave it right where it is. I want to go somewhere else. But they are connected. They go together very well. I want to notice a passage you'll find in John chapter 8. John chapter 8. I'll just go ahead and tell you where I'm going with this. Jesus told those Jews, before Abraham was, I am. I am. Before Abraham was, I am. We need a little explanation about in what respect Abraham was. Because when Jesus was questioned about the resurrection, Jesus said that God spoke to Abraham, God spoke to Moses in the bush, saying, I am. Now he's speaking to Moses. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had long passed the scene of this life, and yet God says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And when Jesus is referring to this in the New Testament, he said, he's not the God of the dead, but of the living. In other words, when he spoke to Moses, God is still the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But here he says, before Abraham was, I am. All right? I want us to begin in verse 51 of this passage. Now, I've already given you the punchline. I've already passed on just where Jesus is going with this. But I want you to see that what he's doing in this passage is that he's making it clear of his divine nature and his equality with the Father. And that infuriated the Jews because they didn't believe that he was the Messiah. All right? But my point in this, and it's not that we're going to continue to try to convince those Jews. My point is today, how persuaded are we that he is God? See, that's what puts wind in your sails every day. When you set your affection on things above, when you think about the Lord Jesus Christ, when you think about his word and understand that he is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is our God. He's the one who liveth and was dead, and yet behold, he's alive forevermore. He is our life. He's given us life. Bless your hearts, we'll have eternal life, or we have eternal life, and we'll have and life eternally with him in glory and all of his redeemed family. That's who we serve. A risen Savior. A loving Savior. An all-powerful Savior. Who saves every one that was chosen in him. If you then be risen with Christ, if we were in him, we rose with him. If he's given us his spirit, then we are regenerated in him. But all of these things, all right? So, beginning, hope you found John chapter 8 by now. Verse 51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. How is that? All our lives, we've seen people die. All our lives, those precious to us, grandmothers, grandfathers, uncles, aunts, folks, friends of the family, one by one, we've seen them die from our perspective. It's from our perspective. We lose them in our world. But if they're God's people, bless your hearts, as soon as their eyes closed in death here in this life, they awakened in the presence of God. Immediately. Awakened in the presence. We're not talking about no halfway house. We're not talking about waiting until there's some thousand-year tribulation. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There is no in between. All right? So when we think about then, Jesus said, if a man keep my saying, is that what he said? If a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Now, if you're a careful Bible student, and you've read over in Luke chapter 2 about a man by the name of, Simeon? That God had promised him, listen carefully, that he would not see death till he saw the Lord's Christ. Well, that says he would not see death until he saw the Lord's Christ. Here, Jesus said, if a man keep my saying, he shall never. Right? Is that what he said? He shall never see death. Obviously, there's a little difference of what's under consideration, isn't there? What Luke chapter 2 is telling us is that Simeon, being an old man, and God had promised him that he would not see death until he'd seen the Lord's Christ. And bless your hearts, when Jesus was born and when they brought him to the temple, Simeon was there and he took Jesus up in his arms and said, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Oh, can you imagine the blessing that man had? He held the Lord Christ in his arms and said, I'm ready to go, Lord. You promised me I wouldn't go until... Now, we don't have any idea how much longer Simeon lived, but we know this. He was satisfied that what God had promised to him, God fulfilled it, and he was ready to go. He had seen the Lord's Christ. But what he was talking about was that natural death that comes upon us in this world. Simeon, his soul and spirit went to the Lord. Whenever it was that he died, he immediately went to the presence of God. And that body would have been placed in a tomb somewhere. That body went to sleep, didn't it? The body sleeps, but not the soul. And aren't we glad that the soul doesn't sleep? Aren't we glad that the soul doesn't go into the ground to have to wait the morning of the resurrection? There are people... And I believe that there are people who wear the name Primitive Baptist who believe in soul sleeping. Well, bless your hearts, we don't believe in soul sleeping, because as soon as we close our eyes in death, we awaken His presence. And in that respect, because we have eternal life, we shall never see death. The body will go to sleep. And so when you're referring to the natural life, we can talk about dying. But when we're talking about spiritual life and eternal life, we don't die. We just change addresses. Bless your hearts, we take up our heavenly citizenship, don't we? Because our citizenship is in heaven, not here upon this earth. And so what Simeon was talking about was his natural life. But what Jesus is saying, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Now that's a glorious message, isn't it? We rejoice in that. But you know what? It upset those Jews. I'm not here to pound on them, but I just want to present this passage this morning. All right? Verse 52. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Can you imagine somebody accusing the Lord Jesus Christ of having a devil? Well, they did. As a matter of fact, if you go back to John chapter 7, verse 20, and then read from there to here, that's the third time they've accused him of having a devil. Now, they're not saying he's possessed of a devil. They're saying that what you're saying is wrong. They're challenging what he's saying. All right? Because how they go on there. He says, they said, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead. And the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. You know, they go on to say, art thou greater than our father Abraham? Well, we know the answer to that, don't we? They didn't, but we do. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? In other words, we would say, who do you think you are? You say, if a man keep my saying, you never, and Abraham's dead. Well, as far as they're concerned, Abraham was dead. But Abraham's with the Father. Eternally speaking, and with eternal life, Abraham's still alive. Abraham fits what Jesus said. If a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Abraham didn't see death in the sense of eternal life. He's with the Father. Now, he wasn't here upon the earth. But they didn't understand that. They didn't understand who Jesus was. They didn't understand what he was talking about with eternal life. They didn't understand that Jesus is the one that gives us eternal life. He's the reason for our eternal life. He's the sustainer of our eternal life. And bless your hearts, he's the one that we worship because he is God. He is God. We need to understand that. There's so many people preaching today of a Jesus that just begging you to make some decision or give your life to Christ or give your life to God or whatever. No. God purposed to save his people. God sent his son to this world to save his people. And on the cross, Jesus said, it's finished. Amen. And if we understand what the purpose of God is, then we understand that he finished that. Heaven will be the home of all that he died for. If you have a desire, now I granted, there are people who don't understand these things and who have a desire for salvation. And bless your hearts, if you have the desire for salvation, you've already got it. You just need to hear the good news of it. You just need to hear that what Jesus has already accomplished, it's not waiting for you to make it available to you. It's accomplished. You wouldn't have that desire if he wasn't already working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure, because you have the Spirit of God in you. And he gives that to his children here in this life. Jews didn't understand that. And I can't go back and change that, but how about us? Do we understand that? Do we rejoice in that? That we worship a Savior who is able to save us to the uttermost. I tell you, sometimes I kind of get down and discouraged. Sometimes I ask the Lord, is the blood of Jesus powerful enough to save a sinner like me? I do. I'm thankful for the sweet assurance I feel when I see those tokens of his affection later. Because I know he wouldn't give those tokens of affection if I wasn't one of his. Oh, what a blessed Savior we have. And he's powerful. He's powerful. He's able to save to the uttermost. All right, they didn't know him. They didn't know who he was. And they were infuriated that he rightfully claimed to be equal with the Father. All right, let's keep reading. Who makest thou thyself? In other words, who do you think you are? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he's your God. What he's doing here is, he said, listen, if you've been listening, if you've been watching, if you've been following me around, you would know that the Father in heaven that you call your God has been honoring me. What do you mean, preacher? Well, Matthew 3:17, when Jesus was baptized, there was a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Later on the Mount of Transfiguration, was that Matthew 17? Yeah, Matthew 17, verse 5. After Moses and Elijah appeared in glory there with the Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration, again, the voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This time it said, hear ye him. God is saying, hear ye him. This is my beloved Son. Son of God. And they understood that expression in their language. The Son of God meant he was deity. That he's God. Manifest in the flesh. They didn't know him. Do you know him? Oh, I hope you do. And I believe you do. But we want to know him better. You know, the Apostle Paul, with all the understanding that he had, with all the revelations that God had blessed him with, he said in Philippians chapter 3, that I may know him. In other words, Paul understood there was more for him to know. And the more we know him, the more we know of him, and the more experience we have of him, and the more we behold him, the more like him we'll be. I think I made reference recently, maybe it was at Bible study, to the radio preacher J. Vernon McGee. Some of you may have heard him. They still play his tapes, even though J. Vernon's already passed on into glory. But as far as the practical things and going back into that Old Testament, especially Leviticus and those books like that, there was some rich symbolism he would bring out in his radio broadcasts, and I just enjoyed so much about it. But anyway, he had a lot of sayings that I liked. And one of them, lost my thought. Well, let's go on. I'm sorry. that thought just left me. I brought it out in Bible study this Wednesday. Well, I'll get to it when it comes to me in a minute. Honoring him. God spoke from heaven. Said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. All right? He's proving that he is God. All right? He's making that point over and over and over. Even Peter in his second epistle in the first chapter, Peter would say he referred back to that experience of the Mount of Transfiguration, all right? And he says he quotes that about God said, this is my beloved son. He says, when we were with him in the Holy Mount. In other words, several places in the scriptures we find a reference here to God speaking from heaven, all right? Now, this was not done in a corner. If those Jews had been following him and listening to him, they would see that God was honoring him as his son. And if they were listening to the report that when Jesus was born, bless your hearts, the angels proclaimed glory to God in the highest. Now, I understand that they told that to the shepherds, but the shepherds came to Bethlehem to see him, and they related some of these things on that occasion. And they went out rejoicing. Bless your heart, the angel said, to Joseph, he shall save his people from their sins. In other words, this is the Messiah. This is the one God had promised to send. And those Jews, knowing the Old Testament, knowing the prophets, knowing the writings of Moses, bless your hearts, they should have understood those things that were being fulfilled by the Lord Jesus himself. Oh, as we think about it. All right, so he says, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It's my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he's your God. Well, if he's your God, and he sent his word through the prophets, why don't you believe his word? Okay, in essence. All right. Verse 55. Yet ye have not known him. Ye have not known him. Jesus referred to this thought in Matthew 15:7. But he's referring to Isaiah 29. And the way Jesus put it in the New Testament, it's expressed a little bit differently in the Old Testament, but the way Jesus put it was, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Kind of sounds like what we just heard a moment ago. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Jesus told those Jews that they were just like the ones of old, that you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. Okay. Now I remember what J. Vernon said. There's a song that we sing sometimes called Take Time to Be Holy. Take time to be holy. Now, it takes a little time to do that. We need to take some time to remember our God, to set our affection on things above, right? It takes a little time. Oh, preacher, I don't have time. My schedule's full already. I'm sure it is. Everybody's schedule's full. You've got 24 hours a day just like anybody else. The difference is how you use your time. Is it important enough to take a few minutes to think about setting your affection on things above, to remember your Lord? See, what J. Vernon McGee said about that song, Take Time to Be Holy, he said one time, I wish they'd have changed that name. I wish they'd have named it this, Take Time to Behold Him. Take time to behold Him. Because if you'll take time to behold Him, you'll be more holy. You'll see more glory in this risen Savior, in this one who loved us and gave himself for us. He did more for us than we can imagine ever trying to do for him. Take some time for him. Take time to behold him. And in so doing, you'll take time to be holy. All right? These people that Jesus was speaking to on that occasion, though they were Jews, though they knew the Old Testament, though they knew the prophets, though they knew what God has, the word that God has sent to the through the prophets, though they knew that God had promised to send the Messiah, one that would be virgin born, there was no question about that. I mean, there was no secret about that. Bless your hearts. Those who knew the situation understood, you know, Mary had not known a man. And yet God chose her to send his son, conceived of the Holy Ghost, just like the prophet had spoken. All right? Isaiah 7:14, behold, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. And that's a miraculous sign. That's an indisputable sign. The virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. His name shall be called Emmanuel, which the New Testament means God, tells us that means God with us. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Lord Jesus Christ, the I Am, came to this earth. He is the Son of God. He is equal with the Father. All right? Yet you've not known me. And Jesus, quoting Isaiah, said, this people honors me with their lips. They're going through the motions. They're saying the words. But their heart is far from me. Wow. You know, it's not very far from the mouth to the heart, is it? How can that be? How could it be that they could honor him with their lips, but their heart is far from him? If you take his heart out, you're not going to live very long. I'm going to tell you something. If you're not setting your affection on things above, if you're not seeking first the kingdom of God, if you're not taking time to behold him, there's not going to be much evidence of your spiritual life in this life. Verse 55 again. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Wow. That's not exactly how to win friends and influence people. But it is truth. And that's what Jesus is all about. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What matters is what Jesus says. It's not a matter of how we feel about it. It's what he says is what we must do. All right. Your father Abraham, verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. I wish I could have seen the look on their faces then. They already said, you got a devil. Who do you think you are? And then he's talking about something that happened hundreds of years before, and he's saying that Abraham saw this man that was talking to them. Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and how hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, but verily I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. When was it that Abraham saw Jesus? One of my favorite Old Testament passages, Genesis 22. When Abraham was called upon to take Isaac and offer him as a burnt sacrifice unto God. Remember that passage? I love that passage. All right, because it's such a vivid picture in the Old Testament of what Jesus would do for us. God told Abraham, take thy son, thine only son, Isaac. Now, wait a minute. Abraham had two sons, and God said, take thine only son, Isaac. How can that be? Because what God is going to show us through Isaac does not apply to Ishmael, that other son. What? Abraham had two sons. That's right. But Isaac is the promised seed. Isaac is the promised child. And not only that, but you come over into the New Testament in Galatians chapter 4, verse 28. Paul says, and now, brethren, we as Isaac was, are the children of promise. In other words, what Isaac represented in the Old Testament, he represented us. He was the child of promise. Do you know eternal life is promised? God promised when he purposed to save his people. In that purpose, he promised eternal life to everyone he chose in Christ. And so everyone that Jesus died for will receive that promise of eternal life. Titus 1 and 2. Here's a verse I hope every one of you will memorize and think about it often. Titus 1 and 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Did you hear that? God made a promise before the world began. In hope of eternal life. Paul said, I'm in hope of it. And God's people who are born of the Spirit have that hope as well. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie. It's a sure promise. What God has promised, he is able to perform. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. In other words, God had made promise of eternal life. God had made promise to a people that he would choose in Christ. All right, he chose them before the foundation of the world. He chose them in Christ. Jesus came into this world to save that people. And when you go back and you read Genesis 22 and you see the glorious pictures of what is represented to us and what is illustrated to us and what Isaac represents and all that's there, you find that that glorious event applied to Isaac, but it did not apply to Ishmael. There is a people that's not embraced in that promise of eternal life. And so we find that Abraham was told to take Isaac and offer him. And so Abraham rose up early in the morning. They went to the place that God had shown him. They had the fire and the wood. And Isaac said, well, here's the fire and the wood. But where's the lamb? Where's the lamb for an offering? Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself, not for himself,
God will provide himself a lamb for an offering. And then he bound Isaac and laid the wood in order, bound Isaac and laid him upon the altar. God told him to offer him as a burnt sacrifice. Can you imagine laying your child upon an altar and burning them as a sacrifice to God? But God's just making a point. Because Abraham was obedient to God all the way up to the point of drawing the knife to slay his child. And then God called out through an angel, "Stay thy hand, Abraham. But now I know." All right? And then what happened was Abraham looked and he saw a ram caught in a thicket. And all of a sudden, he's to take that ram. He's to loose Isaac. He's to put that ram upon the altar and slay that ram. There was a substitute for Isaac so that Isaac didn't have to die. Isn't that a glorious picture of what Jesus has done for us? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've sinned, but bless your hearts, he came to this world to save his people from their sins. And so he was taken. And whereas we deserved death, because we were dead in trespasses and sins, we were separated from God. But bless your hearts, God sent his son to be the substitute for us, to die in our room instead, that we might live. So that we might be that living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. All right? That's when Abraham saw Jesus. That substitute that was placed on the altar instead of Isaac. And Paul would later say, "Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise." You look at Isaac upon that altar with that knife drawn, you see us. You could put yourself right there under the knife. You could put yourself right there. You deserve death. But then you see Abraham finding a substitute. And you're loosed from being bound. And that ram is then put in your place. And the knife is drawn again. And that animal sacrificed and had to die. Bless your hearts, that's what Jesus did for us. That's when Abraham saw Jesus. Abraham rejoiced. Why did Abraham rejoice? Because he didn't have to slay his son. Because there was a substitute for Isaac. Abraham rejoiced in that. Now, how in the world could Abraham be so obedient and draw the knife ready to slay his son? Well, we can go to the New Testament, the book of Hebrews. And we're told that Abraham was accounting. He was accounting. In other words, Abraham knew God had made a promise to him that of his seed, Isaac, that there would be a great nation of people that would come forth from his seed. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. The Messiah would come through that bloodline. See, God had promised these things to Abraham. And now God says, now you go take Isaac before he has any children and you sacrifice him. Well, Abraham knew that God was faithful. Abraham knew that God always spoke truth. So Abraham knew that if he did what God told him, he was going to have to take care of the consequences because God had made a promise. And if God was going to keep that promise, he was going to have to raise up Isaac from the dead. Bless your hearts. God sent his son to be a substitute for us. But he raised him from the dead too. Hallelujah. Oh, as we think about the glory. And we don't know to what extent. But we know that Abraham got the message because Jesus said he did. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Aren't you glad today that you've been blessed to see the Lord Jesus Christ, for who he is. And so Jesus told him, before Abraham was, I am.
Not only is he the Son of God, he's the eternal Son of God. You go back in Genesis when it said, let us make man in our own image, you'll find that the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Word of God, was there with God in the beginning. Isn't that what John says in the beginning of the Gospel according to John? In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, same as in the beginning with God. All things that were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus, as the Word of God, was with the Father in the beginning. I am. Before Abraham was, I am. The was there means before Abraham passed the scene of this life. Jesus already existed as the Word. And what Abraham saw there on that mount, bless your heart, he said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. He saw the salvation that would be in that substitute that God would send for his people. That's what we see today. That's what we rejoice in today. We had a substitute who paid our sin debt. Oh, but bless your heart. Not only, he's not just some lamb that was slain and that's all there is. No, he's our Savior. He went to the cross. He suffered. He shed his precious blood. He redeemed us from our sins. And God raised him again the third day. Some places in Scripture it says God raised him up. Some places in Scripture Jesus said he raised himself up. You know, like John chapter 10, when he said, no man taketh my life from me. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And so we find Abraham rejoiced to see his day. And he saw it. He was glad. Who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? I don't have time to go through all of it. I don't have the ability to go through all of it. Bless your hearts. Who is this Jesus that we serve? Jesus asked the apostles, but whom say ye that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That covers it. That covers it. He's God. He's the Son of God. He's what God has sent to this world to save us from our sins. Thou art the Christ, the anointed one, the one chosen of God to bear our sins. Oh, as we think about it, who is he? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do you see that today? Do you know him? If you do, then what Jesus said to Peter on that occasion applies to you just as well. Because Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And if you know him, then God has revealed him to you as well. That's your hope. That's your Savior. The I am. I am. Not I was. I am. Oh, as we think about it. He's the blessed and only potentate. Let me close. I know time's gotten away here. Let me close with 1 Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy chapter 6, with regard to when Jesus said, for Abraham was, I am. Who is he? He's this Messiah. He's the Savior. But Paul would say in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. If you will take time to behold him like that, if you'll take time to behold him as the only blessed potentate, the one who only hath immortality, in other words, life is of him and from him, who only hath immortality, dwelling in a light which no man can approach unto. His glory surpasses anything
we can imagine. And if we, with these natural eyes, were somehow exposed to him, oh, it would just destroy our sight. Might even destroy our vision. The glory that he has. Oh, but bless your hearts. By his Spirit, he's blessed us to understand something of the glory of his person. The glory of his work. The glory of his love. The glory of his mercy. The glory of his grace. And what we have in him. Take time to behold him. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. You know, one of the things Brother Kenneth said, and I'll close out with this. One of the things he said was that Christ is set at the right hand of the Father. He's in his place. But then he goes on to say, set your affection there in Colossians 3, set your affection on things above. In other words, put your affection in the right place. Put it where it needs to be. And do that early in the day. So then as you take off and take care of your job, as you take off and take care of your family, as you get up and go about your day, you've already taken care of that priority of setting your affection on things above. And asking for his help for your day. I think you'll find a difference in your day. Before Abraham was, I am. He's still here. He's still available to bless us. He's still at the right hand of the Father. And he will be there until the Father sends him back to gather up all for whom he died, to take us home, to be with him forever. Some of those, when he comes back, will already have passed the scene of this life. Their bodies are going to be here in the grave. Their spirits are going to be with him, but they're coming with him. Now what 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 tells us, those that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. In other words, their bodies are asleep in the grave, but their spirit, he's going to bring it with them when he comes. Remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, there was Moses who represented the law, and he died. There was Elijah who represented prophecy, but he was one that didn't have to see death. And when Jesus comes back, bless your hearts, there are going to be some that have already passed the scene of this life. Their bodies are in the grave, but he's going to bring them with him. And there are going to be those of us who are alive and remain that will not have to see death. We'll be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, the last trump. Trumpets will sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be changed and caught up together with him in the clouds. I'm combining a couple of passages here. We'll be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord. Caught up together with him to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Before Abraham was, I am. Do you know him? Let's worship him. Let's adore him. Let's take time to behold him. I believe it'll show. May God bless you, is our prayer. Amen.